You're listening to guest speaker Steve Woodson speaking at Beach City's Community Church in Huntington Beach, California. Beach City's mission is helping people find Christ and grow spiritually, emotionally, and relationally through teaching and preaching through the Bible, the Word of God.
Well, welcome, guys. How are you guys doing this morning? You guys okay?
Yeah.
This is a large crowd. Last night it was a little light. You can tell summer's here. Well, it's substitution time, right? Brian's been here for about a month. He needs a break, so he's going to sit on the bench for a week, and I'm going to step in. And it's interesting how God works. God laid a message on my heart about a month ago, and as I was revealing it, and I was thinking, okay, what can I speak on? And so he placed this message on my heart. And then I hear Brian's messages the last 2 weeks. And what was it on? You guys remember? The gospel, right? The gospel message. This wonderful message. And so the message that we're going to talk about this morning is called the compassion for the lost. Having compassion for those that don't know the gospel. So we were reminded of the gospel that we know. But now I want to address that we need to have compassion to be able to share that gospel with those who don't know it, the lost. Okay, so that's what I'm going to attempt to do this morning. So if you guys want to take out your handouts there, I want to start off by reading a passage in the book of Matthew, and it's actually not in your handouts, but it'll kind of set the tone for the message this morning. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, this is what it says. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he turned to his disciples and he said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what an important message this morning. We want to be able to get a glimpse of your compassion. We want to be able to apply that to our lives. So soften our hearts this morning, Lord, that we might receive this message, that we might learn to have compassion for those who don't know you, and to share this gospel message that Brian shared with us last week. So bless us this morning, open up our hearts, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, so to take a look at the compassion that God has for us, we're gonna take a look at a book you guys might not normally think of as having compassion, and that's the book of Jonah. Right? When you normally mention the book of Jonah, what do you think of? The whale, right? Jonah and the whale. That's what I learned about as a kid. Jonah, oh yeah, he got swallowed by the whale. Yeah, that was kind of a cool story. But there's so much more to this story. There's so much more to this story. And so it's four chapters long, so obviously we can't really dig into it too much, but we're going to take a look at the Reader's Digest version of it, okay? And we're going to start off in the very first chapter, in verse 1 and 2. And the first point is God's assignment. This is the assignment that God gives Jonah in the very first verse. "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, 'Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me.'" In these two verses, folks, there is some powerful information on who God is, on his character. And so we want to take a look at two points. The first one is, why is God sending Jonah to Nineveh? Because he wants to warn them. Why does he want to warn them? Because we need to understand God's thought process. Although these aren't God's people, right? His chosen people are the Israelites. The Ninevites, who are part of the Assyrian Empire, they're not his chosen people. But God still says, listen, their wickedness has come up to me like a stink, like a stench. And I want you to go warn them that if they do not repent, judgment is coming. Why would God tell Jonah to warn them if he didn't love these guys, even though they weren't his chosen people? God loves to give us, folks, second chances. In fact, you know what? It's not even second chances. How many chances do we need? Third, fourth, fifth, right? Many chances, and God loves that. Listen to what he says in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. God is not some evil God that wants to send people to hell. He wants people to turn from their evil ways. He doesn't find pleasure in sending people to hell. And so he wants Jonah to warn these folks. Warn them, Jonah. Look at what he says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. He is patient, speaking of God, not wanting anyone to perish, but that everyone might come to repentance. It doesn't matter what ethnic background you are, what religion you are, where you are in the world. If you don't know God, God is patient. That's why God hasn't come back yet. He wants everybody to have a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance to hear the gospel message. It's not just a wonderful picture of God. The second point is this, that God's character is revealed in these first two verses. And what I want to do is I want to take you back. We're going to take a look at this passage in Exodus chapter 34. And just to kind of build up the theme of what's going on here, Moses is leading the Israelites out of Egypt. And he wants to know God better. And so he says, God, reveal yourself to me. I don't know who you are. And so God says, I'll tell you what, I'm going to come down. I'm going to reveal myself to you and let you know what my name means and who I am and get a glimpse of who I am. So this is where we pick it up. The Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed, "The Lord, the Lord." This is his name. This is what it means. A God merciful and gracious, slow to anger. You think of how long these Ninevites have been sinning against God, and he's been very patient. As we just learned in Peter, he's slow to anger. He's abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. When I hear that word abounding, I think of a fountain that just never ends, or a bubbling brook that is just always bubbling up, and never tires. It's always coming. God's love never tires. It never runs out. It never runs dry. That's part of his character, an abounding and steadfast love and his faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, and what? Forgiving the iniquity and the transgression and sin. That's part of his character, part of his mercy and grace. But who will by no means clear the guilty? If you decide not to hear that message, you've been given the chance. And he goes, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So we see this wonderful picture, all right? And so God comes to Jonah. He says, this is why I want you to go. Go to tell these Ninevites what's been going on, that judgment is coming, all right? So what does Jonah do? Well, Jonah chooses to disobey. And we pick this up in verse 2. It says, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it, to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Why does Jonah flee from the presence of the Lord? We need to understand, Jonah, guys, those of you who don't know, Jonah was a prophet. So that means he's used to hearing from God. What a wonderful privilege. Can you imagine hearing the voice of God giving you direction on what to do? And the prophets in the Old Testament had this wonderful privilege of hearing from God. And so he works for God directly. He's a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. But why doesn't he want to do this? And I think as we look at some of the reasons here, first of all, we take a look at Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrians were hated by the Israelites. They were their enemies. And there is no doubt that Jonah had probably shared with the kings of Israel that there is a kingdom from the north, meaning Assyria, that's going to come in and wipe us out. And God is going to send these guys if we don't turn from our sins. So I'm thinking Jonah probably had this in his mind. I am not going to go tell these guys to forgive them, you know, to turn from God's wrath. Let them burn, right? He didn't like them. Guys, this is a lesson for us. Is there anybody that we don't like that gets underneath our skin that we don't want to share the gospel to? God, give them what they deserve. Right? So that's the first thing that comes to mind. The second point is this, is, you know, many times we ask God, God, I want you to use me. And then God comes and gives you something he wants you to do, and he's like, well, I don't want to do that. I'd rather you use me in another area, right? And Jonah's out of his comfort zone. He's used to staying right there in Israel, and now he's got to go clear across the world, speak another language to a people that he hates, and it's out of his comfort zone. We need to remember that if God calls us to do something, we need to step out of that comfort zone. And I know sharing the gospel can be extremely tough, but we need to learn to step out of that comfort zone and share the gospel message. You know, there's a guy named Francis Chan. He's written a few books, very popular author, but he's also a pastor, and he was a pastor for like 15 or 20 years. And he was very successful. The church was growing, and God was blessing him there. But then he felt like God was telling him to walk away from this ministry that he was in, that he was very comfortable in. And you know what he does now? He lives in San Francisco, and he goes to the poorest neighborhoods in San Francisco and knocks on the doors of people and shares the gospel message with these people door to door. And we would think, well, that's easy for him. He's a pastor. He's been trained. But he said there is nothing more uncomfortable for him to do. That many times he walks up, as many times as he's done it, he knocks on that door, someone opens up, what do I say? And he's uncomfortable, but you know what? He still obeys. He's being obedient. And it was wonderful. I heard this message that the St. Louis Cardinals flew into town to play the Giants, and they'd heard of Francis Chan doing this ministry. For those of you who don't know, it's a baseball team. And some of these guys who were solid Christians on the baseball team said, we want to go out there and do that. He said, come on, that'd be great. Can you imagine? You open up a door and there's Albert Pujols. Hey, I want to talk to you about Jesus. Right? It's like, yeah. Can we talk baseball? First Jesus, then baseball. But we got to learn to step out of our comfort zone. Although Pujols is now on the... You guys are like, no, he's not for the Cardinals anymore. He's now on the Angels. Sorry. But we need to learn to step out of our comfort zone, okay? And I think that's why that's what Jonah had in his mind. But so he flees. He runs away. And so God needs to teach Jonah a lesson. And we pick this up in verse 4 through 6. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship was threatened to break up. And all the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. I want you guys to imagine this. Here you're on this boat, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this wind whips up and these waves start picking up out of nowhere. You're like, what? This wasn't in the forecast. Out of the blue. And it says these sailors were scared. They were so afraid. They're all calling out to their own gods. And these guys were probably seasoned sailors. You know, when the seasoned sailors are scared, there's something to be scared of. And so they start grabbing cargo and chucking it overboard. Let's save this boat at all costs. So what lessons is God trying to teach Jonah here? The first thing is this, is that we cannot flee from God. Look at what it says in Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light will become night around me, surely, if I close the blinds in my room, lock the door and turn the lights out, no one's going to see a thing. Surely if I'm at work and I have a company credit card and I use it and get those bills and hide them, no one's going to know. Even the darkness will not be dark to you, God. The night will shine like day, for darkness is as light to you. God created the dark. You think the dark comes in and he can't see anything? He created night and day. He sits on the outside. It doesn't matter whether it's dark or daylight. He sees everything, guys. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what we're doing. We think we can hide things from God and flee from God? We're in for a rude awakening if we think that. That's the first one. We can't flee from God. We can't hide from God. The second point is this, is that our choices, the choices that we make, affect those around us. Jonah says, I'm going to flee from that. I'm not going to be a part of that assignment, God, and I'm out of here. I'm not going to hurt anybody else, but I'm just going to jump on this boat and I'm going to Tarshish to visit some buddies and go take a break. But what happens? This storm comes up out of nowhere. Now the lives of these sailors, these innocent men, are threatened because of Jonah's choice. The owner of the ship is going to lose his ship because of Jonah's choice. All the cargo that they're throwing overboard, the people who have invested in this, they're losing their investment. This is all because of one man's choice. And many times we make a choice and we think, hey, this is my life, I can live it however I want. It only affects me. No, it doesn't. It affects all those around us. We need to remember that the choices that we make affect the lives of those around us. Be careful with the choices you make. The third point is this: sin stupefies us. It makes us stupid. It makes us blind to what's going on around us. So all this is going on, right? Remember this ship, it's got waves crashing on it. It's threatened to break up. The guys are calling out to their God, save us, save us. And they're throwing the cargo over the board. And the ship has got to be rocking. You can just imagine that. I remember I took a cruise to Alaska with my wife. And anybody who's been on a cruise, these things are like buildings, right? And we hit this storm on the way up, and this massive, massive ship was just rocking like this. And I was amazed how this ship was being swayed by these massive waves. I mean, we're sitting there at dinner time, the plates are going, roo, roo, right? So imagine what's going on here. This is what's going on, but sin stupefies us. So what's Jonah doing this throughout this whole time? But Jonah had gone below deck where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. How can you sleep at a time like this? How can you sleep with the wave rocking? But he's down there sound asleep. And many times, folks, these storms come into our lives and we're oblivious to the storm that we have brought on, and those people that we love, that we say we love, are paying the price of the decision that we've made. And we're so dumb and numb because of our hard heart that we're oblivious to it. And everybody else is scrambling, trying to pick up the pieces and make things right and better. So what happens? Verse 6, the captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice on us and we will not perish. He says, get up, what are you doing? Don't you know what's happening? And this, to me, is kind of a reminder to us that occasionally, guys, when guys are in sin, people are in sin, those that we love, we need to go and confront them. What are you doing? And the Bible says to do that, but it says to do it with love and compassion and grace. But we need to go and say, God, what are you doing? Don't you see what's going on around you? Don't you see how it's affecting the lives of those you love? Sin stupefies us. And so what happens? Well, Jonah goes up on board. And everybody's wondering, what in the world? Why has this storm all of a sudden come on board? And so what they did back then is they used to pull out these lots, right? And so they cast these lots, and Jonah pulls the shortest one, and they figure out this guy's the guilty one. He's like, all right, you're the reason the storm is here. Why, you know, what caused it and everything? They have this whole powwow. And he says, are we okay? And he says, there's a lot of whining going on. All right, let's don't let that distract us. Don't let it distract me. All right, the fourth point is this. There is a price to pay. When we sin, there is a price to pay, right? We can't flee from God. Our choices matter. Sin has a tendency to harden our hearts and make us stupid. And eventually, our sin is going to find us out. And Jonah says, I'm the guilty one. But listen to what he says here. He says, pick me up and throw me into the sea. I'm willing to pay the price. And it will become calm. He goes, I know that this is my fault, that this great storm has come upon you. When we finally get to the point where we say, oh, I realize it. I realize the choices that I've made, the damage that it's caused, it's my fault. And it's not until we get to that point and say, I need to pay the price, that the storm is going to calm down. The side effects may be there, but the storm is finally going to calm down. So they grab Jonah and they throw him overboard. And the Bible tells us that the storm was completely went away. It was so glassy. God was quenched. He was happy with that. But now God shows his compassion on Jonah. Jonah's had to pay the price for his sin, but listen to what happens. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. So Jonah gets thrown into the ocean, maybe thinking he's going to die, he's going to drown. And God says, that's okay. I'm going to provide a fish. He's going to swallow you. You're going to hang out there for 3 days and think about what you've done. Right? And that's exactly what he does. In chapter 2, we see this wonderful prayer from Jonah. Listen to this. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God, and he said, in my distress, I called to you, Lord, and you answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. Remember God's characteristics. He's merciful, gracious, forgiving. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you. That's usually when we remember God, right? When life is ebbing away. And my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. And he says, those who cling to worthless idols, they forfeit the grace that could be theirs. It's not until we turn to God that we receive that grace. I can't try and fix it on my own. My boss can't do it. Our pastor can't do it. Only God can do it. And he says, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. In that one statement, salvation comes from the Lord, is the theological foundation of this whole book. That is why God was sending Jonah to Nineveh, to warn them that salvation only comes from God. Repent of your sins and you will be saved. And Jonah learns this message because God has showed him compassion and Jonah's eyes have been opened. Salvation comes from the Lord. And God says, now you got it right. And the fish spits up Jonah, right? And so God now reintroduces the assignment to Jonah. You said, what you have vowed, you will make good. So, chapter 3, verse 1, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim the message that I give to you. And Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord. So this time Jonah obeys. And Jonah gets into Nineveh. And historians tell us that Nineveh, this was a very big city, you know. And they said it was its circumference was about 40 to 60 miles. I'm not sure. But it took about 3 days to go from the outside of Nineveh all the way to the heart of Nineveh. That's a big, big city. So he gets to the outskirts of Nineveh, and he starts giving this message. 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. In this simple message, 40 days, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. And the Ninevites believed God. Guys, I think this is a reminder to us that many times we think, I'm just not eloquent. I can't go up, I don't know what to say to people. God can use some of the simplest words that we say to pierce the hearts of others. I remember being with a buddy. I had a buddy who lived in Lancaster, and he left the company I was with to do something he felt God had led him to do. And so I saw him about 2 years later, and I said, how are things going? He said, I'm struggling. I think it was the wrong decision, what I did. And I said, well, I remember you telling me that you really felt this was God's will for your life, and he had called you to do this, and that's what I was just kind of reminding him of what he said. And went back to eating. I ended up leaving, right? And he left me a message later on. I didn't get the message till later. But God spoke to him through my simple words of just repeating what he had told me 2 years earlier. And he's just been completely revived. God can use some of the simplest words, folks, to pierce our hearts. And that's what he does when Jonah says this. The Ninevites believed. And now the word of Jonah continues to go further into the city of Nineveh. And when it reached the king of Nineveh, it says here, he rose from his throne, he took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. The king of Nineveh, of this massive empire, is humbled when he hears these words of the sins that he has committed. He's convicted in his heart, and he repents and puts on sackcloth. You got to understand, this got to be in the dust with his people watching him. That's a humiliating moment. But it says a lot about this man's heart. And then he says, he issues a proclamation to Nineveh. Do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent. And with what? With compassion, turn his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Verse 10, when God saw that, or what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion. And he did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. Oh, God is so merciful. In his compassion, he shows them forgiveness. And so what's Jonah's response? Jonah is just so thrilled to bits. This is the biggest evangelistic conversion in the history of the world. Dwight L. Moody would have been jealous, right? Billy Graham would have been jealous. An entire city turned to God overnight? Wow. Was that his response? We pick it up in chapter 4 now, verse 1. Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. Angry. Angry means angry. This guy was angry. How can you show them compassion? I thought we were just going through the works here. I didn't know you were actually going to forgive them. Right? And he prayed to the Lord, oh Lord, remember he's angry. This is not what I said when I was still at home. That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are gracious and compassionate, God. You're slow to anger and abounding in love. A God who relents from sending calamity. Do those words ring a bell? He's gracious, he's compassionate, he's slow to anger, he's abounding in love. Weren't those the characteristics we just heard in Exodus about the true nature and character of God? And Jonah just repeats that verbatim. Jonah had no doubt studied those words and read that book many times. He knew the characters of God. And yet he didn't want to see God show compassion to his enemies. You know, we always want God to forgive us of our sins, but we don't want God to forgive the sins of others. My sin is not as bad as my neighbor's sin. When I commit an offense at work and call on someone else's account, well, that was a mistake. I didn't know, you know. All right, that's fine. No, but he did it to me. He better pay the price. right? If I insult my wife, say, oh, babe, I was just kidding. Come on, lighten up. She should forgive me. But if she does it to me, oh, no, you're going to pay the price. That was not funny. Don't tell me you were just kidding. And we can be so vengeful and so self-centered. We only want our sins forgiven, but not the sins of others. I remember Dr. Dobson. Dr. Dobson went to speak with a guy named Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy was a mass murderer in the 80s. And he went to go speak with him in prison, and he shared the gospel message with him. And he walked away, and I think it was on his radio station. I remember him telling the story where he shared it with people that he felt like Ted Bundy had really given his life and was really repentful for what he had done. And he says, I think he might be saved. I think he's truly repentful repented of his sins. And he said he could not believe the outrage of Christians. How can you think God would forgive this guy of murdering women? Is God not capable of forgiving man of our sins? Are there certain sins that are forgivable and other ones that are not? Are we the ones who are supposed to choose that sin is okay, but these aren't? God says, no. My love is what? Abounding. Abounding. And the next point is this, is that God is in the business of saving souls. And it's not our choice who receives the message and who doesn't. We need to have hearts filled with compassion for maybe even those who have hurt us. Maybe it's a loved one, maybe it's a husband or a wife. Maybe it's our neighbor that we don't get along with, and God is saying, live the gospel message, show them love, and then share that message with them. Show them grace. That is what God wants us to do. Remember when Jesus was on the cross, what did he say? Forgive them. Why? For they know not what they do. These men who beat Jesus up, nailed him to the cross. So God needs to remind Jonah once again of his compassion. And what happens is Jonah goes to the side of the mountain, right? And he's waiting. He wants to see God destroy Nineveh. But he's baking in this desert sun. And so God, out of his compassion, has this big old vine, nice big old plant grow up over him and give him shade. And so he's relieved and he's so happy that he has this shade, right? But then what happens is that night, God now sends a little caterpillar, right? A little worm to eat up this plant, and Jonah wakes up and the plant's dead, laying there on the ground. And Jonah's so angry. Once again, he starts getting all angry. He goes, I'm so angry, God, I could die. Just send me to heaven. Kill me. Right? Listen to God's response. But God said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend to it or make it grow, as a gift out of compassion from me to you. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left hand. And many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about this great city? Should I only be concerned about this little green vine that's going to give you covering and not about thousands and thousands of people that could go to hell if they do not hear the word of God? This is an important message for us, guys, to take our eyes off ourselves. We are so self-centered so often that we can't even see the compassion of others. I love what Brian shared last week. Those of you guys who were here, remember he said he went to the park, he was studying a little bit about the sermon he had to speak, and then he saw this guy and he felt like God was telling him to share the gospel message with him. And he didn't really want to do it. Isn't that most of our response? I really don't, I got to go, I got things to do, right? But the key word that stuck out with me, he says, I had compassion on this guy. And so he goes over to this guy and he's got 666 written on his neck, right? Most of us would have gone, yeah, okay, I think that's a sign I'm out of here. But Brian didn't. He shared the gospel message with this guy. This is the kind of compassion we need to show other people. So how do we respond, guys? We need to take our eyes off ourselves. How do we respond? Well, in Matthew 28, Jesus gives us the same commandment that he gave Jonah. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go." Same thing he told Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jesus tells us, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And I love this part, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God wants us to share this gospel message. And we aren't going to share the gospel message and get out of our comfort zone until we have a compassion and we understand that these people who don't know the Lord, what are the consequences for them? But we need to be willing to share the message. And I know many of us say, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15. He says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks to give a reason of what for the hope that you have. Always be prepared to give an answer. Are you prepared to share the gospel message if someone says, what's the hope that you have for the future? After death, what happens to us? Folks, we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared to share the gospel message. Some of the simplest messages can go a long way and God can use it. But we have to prepare ourselves. And you know what? Brian is going to come up here next week and share a fantastic message on how we can share the gospel message. So everybody, please come back next week. But I just want to close with this. Ask yourself this question. What are the consequences if we do not repent of our sins and we do not give our lives to Jesus Christ? What are the consequences, folks? The consequences are we go to hell, right? That's an uncomfortable feeling. We don't even like to say it. I didn't hear anybody say it. It's uncomfortable just to say it, unless we use it as a curse word, then we use it all the time, right? But people go to hell, folks, if they don't hear the gospel message. If we can understand that people will go to hell where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, if they do not hear the gospel message, it will open our eyes. We'll be able to get out of our comfort zone and share that gospel message. Moses and Paul knew this so well. Listen to these two passages. Exodus 32:32. Moses so many times was just having to defend these people who had just consistently rebelled against God. But look at this man's heart to his people. But now please forgive them of their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book that you have written. Romans 9, 2 and 3. This is Paul. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. I would be willing to be forever cursed. To what? To be cut off from Christ. If that would save them. Do we understand what Paul is saying and what Moses is saying? I am willing to go to hell if it means that these people will go to heaven. That is the kind of heart we need. That is the kind of compassion that we need. I know I am not there. I can't say, God, send me to hell so that this customer who's a thorn in my side will go to heaven. And so I know I have work to do in my heart. But guys, let's start learning compassion, sharing that gospel message. Let's close. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this message this morning. And Lord, we just pray that we would truly apply it to our lives, Father. Lord, that we would learn to take our eyes off ourselves and start to see the consequences that are all around us for people who don't know you. And so, Lord, open up opportunities this week to us, Father, that we would start sharing the gospel message with neighbors, with coworkers, with family members. And maybe we've already shared the gospel message with them, Father, but that we would just start to love upon them and continue to show them love and grace and forgiveness, Father. Thank you for this message, and thank you for your example. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to guest speaker Steve Woodson speaking at Beach Cities Community Church. Located in Huntington Beach, California, Beach Cities has been helping people find Christ and grow spiritually, emotionally, and relationally since 1985. This is a listener-supported podcast. For information on supporting this ministry, or for more information on Pastor Ken Sparks and Beach Cities Church, log on to beachcities.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.